From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 656, Sysinternals with guest Sammy Leho. Recorded Thursday, August 15th, 2019. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Bringing back one of my favorites today, Sammy Leho, who's been one of the world's leading professionals in Windows OS and security for many years. He's been working and teaching operating system troubleshooting, management, security for a decade and a half. And his session was top ranked at Ignite in 2018, which has happened before, I think, back in the old TechEd days, too. And he is the author at Pluralsight and now also a conference chair for Tech Mentor. Is that true?
That is true.
Yeah, Tech Mentor is a great show. It's one of my favorite IT shows. Not that I get to go, but I'm always paying attention to what you guys are doing over there. How are you, friend?
I am absolutely fabulous. I actually just arrived from... Tech Mentor Redmond. We had it last week. Had a lot more people than last year, so...
That's fun when the show gets big.
More audience flowing in, and being a conference chair with my co-chair, Dave Cavula, and our job is to take care of the content, and of course, me and the boss being very happy about the crowd growing bigger and bigger. So,
do you see a lot of energy in the security topics? Is that what people are focused on at Tech Mentor?
Yeah, well, there's a lot. Well, we cater for all sorts of Windows topics, so we got a lot of tracks on. But security is always gathering the most attendees.
Sure.
So yeah, it has been that for the past 4 or 5 years. But we got a lot of other stuff going on as well. And for me, the biggest difference this year compared to the few previous years is that even now in US, Azure, Intune, and all the cloud stuff seems to be kicking in way more than it used to be just a few years ago. So
it does finally seem to be catching on.
Yeah, exactly. So a few years ago, we tried to cater to that audience as well with some sessions, but it wasn't that successful. But this year, there was a huge crowd on those topics. So it seems to be kicking in.
And we're recording this in mid-August, so obviously I'm publishing later. And they've just changed the licensing rules around Windows, going whether you're in Azure or one of the quote-unquote other clouds. I don't know if that showed up at your conference, because it's certainly been buzzing on Twitter a lot.
Yeah, that's what we do our content quite early, so not that much. But the buzz around it was huge. We had a lot of course, a lot of networking events during the week, so talking to people, it was on people's lips all around. But
and correct me if I'm wrong, that show is actually on the Microsoft campus, isn't it?
Yeah, we got two shows. So the first show is in the beginning of August always, and that's at the Redmond campus. Mm-hmm. That's about this year, 250. Next year, we're going to have a few more tracks combined from another conference, so growing up to about 650 people.
Nice.
And then we have a bigger show in Orlando in November. There's Ignite in Orlando, then there's 1 week in between, and then there's Tech Mentor Orlando. That's a little bit bigger show. That's about 1500 people.
Yeah, that's a good size show. Of course, Ignite will be 25,000.
Yeah, 35,000. So it's gonna feel super intimate.
yeah. You and your 25,000 of your closest friends. Will you just stay for 3 weeks in Orlando? Are you going to go home in between?
No, I was kind of calculating that I'd be, because of the time difference, I'd be home on late Sunday, and then I'd had to fly back on the very early next Saturday. So I'd have like 5 days
right
in Finland, and it's a 10-hour time. No, well, seven. 7-hour time difference. Right. So I'm just going to stay there. Yeah. I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do with 1 week off there, but I'll stay there.
Yeah, I don't think I'd stay in Orlando. I'd go to the coast. I remember when TechEd was 2 weeks back to back, and I had to do both weeks because there was a dev week and an IT week. And so on the weekend, I went to like West Palm Beach and just sat on the beach and relaxed and did not think about technology because, you know, 5 days straight of it followed by five more days is a lot.
That's a lot. Well, I haven't been to TechEd for two consecutive weeks, but I can imagine.
Yeah, no, I don't recommend it. It's a beating. it's true. But now there's no TechEd. It's just Ignite.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in sysinternals? I mean, I know you as a security guy. You scared the snot out of me with the DMA exploits, and we talked a lot about whitelisting last year, which again is still very much security related. How does sysinternals play into your skill set?
Actually, I have been teaching operating systems and operating system internals since 2000.
Right,
and I actually started my career at TechEd in 2013. I started by teaching troubleshooting. But then, to be honest, security is such a hot topic that I decided after a few years of doing just troubleshooting and Windows internals, I decided that I'll start talking about security as well. For me, everything is based on the fact that I know the operating system so well that I know where to search for weaknesses and I know where to search for things to protect. So security is kind of easy for me because I have such a strong background on the operating system stuff. Right. So I was a sysinternals person and a troubleshooter before I became a security guy. So I used them. I was a real big, and I am a huge fan of Mark Rusinovich. And I went to his Windows internals course in 2005 in Amsterdam, just a year before he sold the internals company to Microsoft. And I've been following him since I don't know when, and now I'm now like last few years at TechEd, Mark's been promoting my classes on his sessions, which is of course like a huge draw.
That's awesome
for my courses, and that's mainly because I think I was the only nerd in the world who actually asked him for permission to host sysinternals 20th birthday party in 2016. So
a birthday party for software. I like it.
It was we had like Mark Rusinovich doing a keynote and Aaron Marcos is doing a second keynote, and it was such a blast. We just had a Mark telling I made quizzes like trivia around sysinternals and had Mark provide weird details that like no one knows about sysinternals, and it was so fun. And then Mark was so happy about someone actually, he was already in Azure and had moved from the operating system side to Azure at Microsoft and so he was like so happy that someone actually still loves his dear tools so much that actually hosts a huge birthday conference around them. So
I think that's fantastic. I wish I'd been there. That sounds like a ton of fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm you know, it's funny, we've done some shows in the past year or two, we're just talking about the relevance of the operating system, and it seems like the only thing anybody wants from the operating system these days is reliability, that we don't look to features on anymore. But it's not like they're ever going away. Something's got to run the machine.
Exactly. Something's always going to be there, and it's although troubleshooting tools change a little bit when we're moving more to a platform as a service level in the Azure, for example, in the cloud services. So it of course changes a little bit, but many of the, like the sysinternals, one of the newest, well, not the newest, but one of the newest tools in sysinternals, PS Ping, for example, is, well, in a way, it just seems like a better version of the traditional ping that we have for networks. But the real story behind this, that is Mark Rusinovich actually developed PS Ping because he needed to do network troubleshooting in Azure. But the old ping has the smallest resolution it can do is 1 millisecond. but they have to measure on a nanosecond level when they're talking about latency inside of Azure networks. So those old tools that were not good for that. So at some point, it seems that the sysinternal tools might not have gotten as much love as they did in the early days, but they are. There's many tools that are like PSPing. Sysmon, for example. Sysmon was developed purely by Mark Krusinovich and his team, purely to catch a bad guy inside of Microsoft's own network.
Wow.
And when they were able to hunt down this internal threat, then it was so successful that they decided to actually publish it as a tool. That's a very new tool. ProcDump was built because Mark was already working at Microsoft, but Microsoft support said that they're never at the computer when something goes wrong. So they would need a tool that would monitor in the background of the customer's operating system. And when something goes wrong, would automatically react and make memory dump of the failing or the hanging processes. So ProcDump is a very new tool that was also developed while Mark Krusinovich was already working for Microsoft. So it's a huge toolkit, 100 tools, maybe 80 of them are kind of the older from the time when Mark was by himself building those, or actually with Bryce Coxwell. But now there are new tools. It's still alive. It's still the most important toolkit for anyone doing troubleshooting on any Microsoft platform.
Yeah, it's funny where I certainly feel like it's a staple. Process monitor, something that I just run routinely. Like I find it, but tons of people still don't know about these tools, and they've been around for ages. And it's great to hear. And new ones are still being built as they learn more.
Yeah, it's been around since 1996. So
yeah,
it's an old toolkit. It used to be, well, Mark Krusinovich used to be kind of the public enemy number one for Microsoft before being hired. So it was a little bit of a dark side of troubleshooting, and nowadays it's of course mainstream, incorporated into TechNet, and it is a I'm just, when I teach operating system internals, everyone always thinks about it being a joke when I always tell people that, like, in Windows with Task Manager you can't see anything that runs,
right?
And no one, everyone think it's my personal opinion. I mean, it's like my personal preference that I want to use Process Explorer because I like it more, or it's more detailed than Task Manager. But if you really think about the fact that Task Manager can only show processes,
right?
And Windows NT is a multi-threaded operating system, which means that processes can't even run code. Like, if you look at Task Manager, you will never ever see what's wrong because you will never ever see what's running. Process Explorer can show threads, which actually can execute code on a CPU when you're running Windows NT. So there are like fundamental things. On the other hand, of course, you can't throw a Process Explorer, which is highly detailed and huge amounts of information. You can't throw that to every home user's face when they need to try to shut down an application. It is too complicated for that. Everyone should kind of like know this stuff, and everyone should learn. Whenever they move from the home user side to the enterprise side, the toolkit is priceless.
Yeah, this is a professional's tool. If Task Manager is for home users, and you're not that person, then you should really be using these pro tools.
Absolutely.
Their visuals are a little dated. That's the only thing. But it does. I mean, who cares? It's all the information you need. And I love that literally live.systernals.com is simply an FTP site.
I know. I love it. It's like every single time when I show people, like, you can download the suite, get all the tools this way, but if you just ad hoc need one tool, you can just go to live.sysinternals.com. And like, while it's loading, then I'm always telling people, like, this is the only Microsoft website that actually makes some sense.
Because it's just the list of files.
Get it on the screen, it's like, yeah, that really makes sense.
Again, not for the average mortal, but for anybody who's in, if you look at that and go, well, that's the logical thing to do, it's like, okay, well, then this is the place for you. You're in the right place. It's the simplest way to go. So Should we talk about a sort of diagnostic process? Like, what's your first go-to tool? What's always running for you?
Well, Process Explorer is the most downloaded tool. It has like 3.7 million downloads per month or something. It is the most downloaded tool. So that is the go-to tool. That is it. Whenever I would launch Task Manager, that's the time when I will always launch Process Explorer. You can actually even replace Task Manager with Process Explorer if you want.
Right.
So that is the go-to tool. That's kind of like, that's for both looking at what's happening currently, also troubleshooting, also hunting down malware. It works for many, many different things. On the other hand, if something breaks, I mean, there are two people in the world that started to teach Windows internals like super successfully together. It was Markus Sinovich and David Solomon.
Right.
And David Solomon always said that if something breaks in Windows, run Procmon.
Right.
Well, actually, that's a little bit tweaked quote, because the original quote, but it was that if something breaks in Windows, run FileMon and RegMon. Nowadays, they're the first tool that was launched under the name under the Microsoft time when Mark Krusinovich went to Microsoft. The first time they launched after that was Procmon, and Procmon is kind of the go-to troubleshooting tool. Process Explorer can be used for many other things as well, but Procmon is. I have Chris Jackson is for charity selling these t-shirts that I love wearing all the time. The t-shirt just says, keep calm, run Procmon. Because it's like, whatever goes wrong in Windows, Procmon is that tool. So kind of troubleshooting perspective, Process Explorer and Process Monitor are the tools that solve 90% of all trouble I have.
Right.
The 10% on top of that is kind of like Microsoft's own tools, which are good nowadays. Of course, Mark is now working for Microsoft, so he gets to kind of have a little bit of a role on those tools that are branded under Microsoft and not sysinternal. So there are like Windows Performance Toolkit, for example, that's minor part of my troubleshooting process. But everything always starts with Process Explorer and Process Monitor.
When it comes down to the brass tacks of the problems that people have.
Absolutely.
And Sam, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message.
This episode of Run As is brought to you by SQL Intersection. 8 full-day workshops and over 40 technology-focused sessions make SQL Intersection a unique source of the best information for SQL Server from real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team. You'll learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as learn about the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, cloud, as well as the new features in the latest version of SQL Server 2019. It's time to determine your migration strategy, and SQL Intersection is the place to figure out the best way to do it. Come to SQL Intersection at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, November 18 to 21. Use code RUNAS to get a discount on your registration at SQLintersection.com. See you there.
And we're back. Richard Campbell. This is Run As Radio, and that's Sammy Leho. We're talking about sysinternals and some other tools, too. You brought up the Windows Performance Toolkit, which is not part of sysinternals per se, but this is the old WPA, right? The Performance Analyzer.
Yeah, it used to be... Windows Performance Analyzer for analyzing an expert for capturing traces. But nowadays, a lot easier to approach GUI-based tool kit. So that's a very, very good tool from Microsoft. So sysinternals tools and a few Microsoft tools I usually combine into my troubleshooting cases. But there's about 100 tools. I mean, there are tools for troubleshooting mostly, but then there's a huge amount of tools for management as well. Like PS tools, for example, they're the kind of the predecessor, or at least the forefather of PowerShell. And PSExec and PSFile and PSList, and there's PS shut down and PS locked on and PS whatever. So there's a huge amount of tools that are then more related to management, not necessarily just troubleshooting. As Process Explorer and Process Monitor, they're troubleshooting tools purely.
Right.
They're also many of the tools, they're smaller tools, and it's easy to, but for me, it's of course, it's a treasure chest because I teach Windows internals, and many of the tools were built by Mark Rusinovich and Bryce Coxwell in the early days to support Mark teaching Windows internals.
Right.
So they're diagnostic tools that are not only good for troubleshooting real trouble, but also as a teaching application, showing what the operating system does, giving you visibility to the things that are not visible otherwise. So I use them a lot, and I teach a Windows internals course for 4 days around the world, and I use the Windows internals book as a classroom guide or like a textbook for the class. And really, for the 4 days, we don't really do anything else but use sysinternals tools for everything. Maybe kernel debugger from Microsoft's own suite of tools, but otherwise it's sysinternals. We can only kind of scratch the surface even in 4 days. So I took a challenge from Pluralsight about 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I had done only security courses for them, and then everyone's been trying to ask me to write a book. Like in Europe, at my job and at my level, I can live without a book.
Right.
But especially in US, everyone was all the time asking me for a book. There's book signing at Decade or Ignite. There's people want autographs. You can't really autograph a PDF. Like they really want those real books.
I've signed laptops, man. Like people do weird things.
Oh my God! Yeah, I have a. Oh yeah, yeah, actually yes. Yeah, my rockstar moment was a Decade when I gave out like 200 T-shirts with the Finnish word for administrator, which is just ridiculously long.
You gotta say it.
Järjestelmävalvoja. So I gave out 200 shirts, and people were
that said that on it.
Yeah,
I love it.
And they were just everyone wanted one, and I had not anticipated that everyone wants one.
Yeah.
It wasn't that funny when it was just Finnish. You know, it's like it's not if I tell them it's Finnish, but then I happened to tell them that J.R.R. Tolkien, while writing Lord of the Rings, used Finnish as the base for the language of the elves.
Right.
And that's the difference between a story and a war story. It's like, now everyone wants one. It's like, he speaks Elvish. Give me a T-shirt.
This is administrator in Elvish.
Exactly. So now everyone wanted one. And then I remember I had given out everything, and that's a joke. I still had my mic on. So this was Decade New Orleans.
Right.
And I just as a joke, I said that, like, I already gave out everything I have. The only one I have is this sweaty one I'm wearing. And then this Korean guy started jumping up and down.
I want it.
I want it. I want it.
Take
want
the
it.
Shirt off your back.
I was like, I remember calling my wife, like, this is as close as a rock star I will ever get.
Yeah. So when they want the shirt off your back, yeah, you've hit a certain threshold, Sammy.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I struggled for a few years trying to figure out how I would write a book, and I kind of like I started to do a sysinternals full catalog of a full learning path on sysinternals, like going through every single tool there is in that suite, and it ended up being 9 courses long. It took me 2.5 years to record those videos on Pluralsight. I just finished the last one literally like 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
But I think I'm not an author in a writing books kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I like performing and I like doing videos. And I think this is kind of this is my book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much stuff. And it's so thorough and goes to every detail that I would have wanted to put in the book, but I just can't make it happen. At least without like a ghostwriter or something like that. I mean, I just doesn't seem to happen for me. So this now I feel like I finally wrote a book. I finally put everything that I've been trying to teach for the past 19 years in one location.
Wow.
So it's been I'm feeling fabulous. It's just it's been such a long job, and I'm super happy to now have it finished.
Well, like you said, it was 100. It's 100 tools. Like, that's just a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and anyway, one course is you have to take like 3 hours at least for just Process Explorer to get through everything. So the bigger tools like Procmon, Process Explorer, those are huge. So they take a full course to just talk about those. Mm-hmm. And then the smaller tools. And there's so many tools. I mean, so many different audiences that these tools cater for. Like Zoomit. Zoomit is, I don't really know any public presenter that doesn't use Zoomit.
No, obviously. And technically, it's a sysinternal tool.
It is a sysinternal tool.
Yeah.
And there's a really, really funny story about that, because I was actually present when Mark Rusinovich built Zoomit. I was in Amsterdam in 2005 for a Windows internals course. And David Solomon and Mark Rusinovich were teaching the course. And there's 40 people in the room listening to the guru speaking. And then suddenly in the middle of the class, one guy raised his hand and said, Mr. Rusinovich, Mark was presenting the full day, and he was using a tool from InFocus that could do the same thing, draw on a screen, zoom, have a break timer, stuff like that. And he was using that, and suddenly this one guy raises his hand and says, Mr. Rusinovich, I'm sorry, but I think you don't have a license to use that. And like Mark just went totally silent. He just for a moment, and everyone started looking at that guy like, do you have any idea how much me paid to get on this course?
Yeah.
And like, we're talking about license agreements, like, what the hell? And then Mark was like, okay, I will look into it. But what do you mean? Well, it's the license agreement says that you can only use it if you're using an InFocus projector. But this is a Canon, so you can't use the tool. And Mark was like, okay, I'll stop. And then next morning he came back, said that he had contacted InFocus. So he showed us an email. The email said, I'm sorry for violating your license agreement, and I'm willing to pay for all the consequences, blah, 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 blah. And showed the answer as well, because the answer said, we forgive you, Mark, you are the God. So,
it's a great story. Of course they did.
And then after he showed that, he just launched Zoomit and said, I developed this last night at the hotel. Are you fine with this?
Nice.
It's like, that was like, and everyone was like, that's the difference between, I'm an admin who tries to learn how the OS works, but I'm not a dev. So if I'm lacking something, I need to rely on someone else to help me out in building a new version of something. But that's like that's the great thing about Mark, is that like he gets slightly annoyed about someone saying something like that, and he goes back to the hotel room and just during the night builds
a replacement.
And builds the most used presentation tool in the world.
Yeah, and gives it away.
And gives it away. Oh. But yeah, there's so many tools. There's so many audiences. If you're an Active Directory guy, you got your own tools. If you're a security guy, you got crazy tons of tools. If you're an operating system guy, you got your tools. SCCM guys, you get your tools. Like, there's literally something for everyone, which means that it's just like I always say that everyone who works with Microsoft products should watch that course. Or should learn that top, learn those tools, because it's just for everyone.
Are some of these tools kind of obsolete now? Like, shouldn't they just, aren't they just part of the operating system? Like, I think about something like PS Shutdown. Like, why wouldn't I just use shutdown that's internal to Windows?
Actually, shutdown, the shutdown command was added in Windows XP, and the shutdown.exe that Windows has is actually, from my perspective, it's better than BS shutdown.
Interesting.
So there are some tools. And of course, now that you can start seeing, Mark jumped on board Microsoft ship in 2006. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly when Vista came out.
Yeah.
And then kind of like Windows 7 is the first operating system where you can see that Mark has had some sort of a say on what tools should be there and what shouldn't. So
right.
For example, Resmon, Resource Monitor. Mm-hmm. Resource Monitor is like 16 times better than Task Manager. It's not as good as Process Explorer, but you can easily see that it is getting closer. And so Resmon is something I use even today. Very easy to spot. Like even, I was just running a class yesterday and I had some, the Hyper-V machines were super slow, and just quickly open up Resmon, see that there's a disk queue length of like 16 or something, and instantly know like, well, it's always the disks anyway, but I mean, it's just a, that's a good tool. And as you said, there are actually a funny trivia question again, is that the only tool that was thrown out of SysInternals when Microsoft acquired WinTernals, the only tool that was actually kicked out of toolkit was newsid.exe. Because Microsoft requires sysprep. The only supported way of changing SIDs on computers is running sysprep. So newsid.exe is the only one that was actually kind of like Microsoft said, we'll keep your tools free, like we promised, put them on TechNet, but newsid has to go.
Newsid is in the docs, but it says point blank, it's been retired, it's no longer available for download. Here's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it makes sense because they're sysprep, that's the right way to do this. Don't just generate a SID.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there are some others, like Tokenmon is a tool I would love to use, but Tokenmon showed you what privileges you're lacking. So I teach, I teach mainly, but 20% of my work is consulting. And as a consultant, my main thing is to get rid of end user admin rights for companies. And so Tokenmon was priceless because Tokenmon you could run and it would instantly show you what privileges were required for this app to work. So we could give privileges instead of making people admin, we could just give the required privileges. And but Tokenmon doesn't work after Vista. Vista introduced a security mechanism called Patch Guard.
Right. And so Patch Guard just overcomes that ability to dig into that data. Now, Tokenmon is gone, right? There's no reference to it in the docs at all.
Yeah, there is a that's totally gone, and it is a it's a tool that kind of like we would really, really need it. But in a way, it makes sense. Someone tries to kind of like eavesdrop on the operating system on how it handles privileges and what kind of privileges it could get and what kind of privileges might be used and if we could activate them somehow and steal them. And there was a lot of things going on in that way. People were trying to do privilege elevation, which is like a very, very common attack. So they were trying to do that, and they wanted to prevent all of that. But sadly, then the monitoring solution also broke.
Yeah.
So we lost Tokenmon. So there's some tools that are kind of obsolete as they were incorporated into the operating system, like you said. Some tools there's no use for anymore.
Yeah.
And also, world is totally different now. I mean, back in 1996, computers were very different. There's a lot of different defrag tools inside of SysInternals, but we got SSDs now, so.
Yeah, fragmentation doesn't mean the same thing anymore.
Exactly. So yeah. things have dramatically changed. Plus, you have tools that were great when, like in 1996, a high-performance graphics designer's workstation had like 16 megs of RAM.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some of the tools are also from that time, and they were very, very good for when we had so little memory and so huge amounts of disk compared to that, tweaking page files and page file sizing and everything, it worked very different than it does nowadays.
Yeah.
RAM is cheap. 16 gigs is a very normal laptop. I went to Redmond and I've finally made something that I've thought of doing a long, long time ago. But now I live alone, so I can buy whatever I want, as stupid as it might be. So I finally bought myself a really, really, really cool lightsaber.
Right.
And the lightsaber has 256 megs of RAM and more processing power than any of my PCs had at that time.
Of course.
So things are, the world is also very different. So some of the tools are like, they were meant for that time.
Yeah.
They're not meant for this time.
Yeah. And times have changed. There's no other way about it, right? Like, that's just how it is. But and it is interesting to just coordinate and think through all of those things. It's like, well, where do these tools now live in this new world? Where do they make sense?
And one of my main objectives really was that the SysInternals toolkit, most people know maybe the top five tools.
Right.
But like, there are so many good tools in it, but no one kind of takes the time to actually go through all of them.
No.
you can buy the book and try to go through the book. The new book by Aaron Markosis and Markus Sinovich is a very, very good book. So that is so much easier to approach than the Windows Internals book, because it's so much more down, kind of like closer to reality, not just being a super theoretical book for more devs, like Windows Internals books in many ways are. So those books are really good, and I just wanted to kind of like try to show people that you're missing out on so many of those really small, really cool tools that never get any prime time,
and that will save you a lot of frustration, just make your life easier.
Absolutely.
No question. Sammy, what's next for you? Where can we learn more? Where should we be looking at? Obviously, the Pluralsight courses, if you're a Pluralsight subscriber, or even if you're not, you should be. And
you should be. That's if you don't do it for any other reason, do it for the SysInternals learning path. That is 9 courses. I put my heart into it, and I really honestly think it's a really, really good series. So that's number one on my list right now.
Absolutely.
I have my own video library on win-foo.com/dojo, which is my personal video library. I all have all my Windows Internals courses available online. Otherwise, I last year I traveled 208 days, had 189 airport visits, and flew 3 hours more than a British Airways pilot. So I am all around the world. You can find my schedule for my public courses is also on win-foo.com. And next big ones will be Ignite, hopefully.
Yeah. Going to be number one again.
Well, it was. I won the conference with a session called How to Build a Conference Winning Session. I don't know. I think someone said it nicely last year, said that now you won the conference with that. But when you host a session like that, now someone who was in the audience needs to win next year.
Right.
Because otherwise I was holding back.
Your class fails.
Yes. So I, in a way, not sure. I'm very competitive, so I will try. I hope they let me in. This is a story for another one of your radio shows, but when I took the live hedgehog on stage, I broke so many rules that
they may be a little upset with you still.
I hope I'm getting to speak at Ignite. We still haven't had the results for the call for papers or call for speakers. So that'll be the big on during this autumn time. That's the big one. Then there's Tech Mentor 2 weeks after.
Yeah.
Then it's New Year. And but just I'll be like teaching that. Everywhere around the world all the time. So
well, yeah, I just poked through your calendar. You're teaching a lot of weeks there, friend. That's a busy, busy time. Sammy, so glad to have you back on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. It's been a blast as always.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.